Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is a cartoon on YouTube. Go check that out. And joining me is the wonderful and hilarious and fabulous Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast Podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben.
How was your weekend?
So good. It was so nice to have a lovely time just sitting around watching TV. I watched so much TV.
Oh, fun. I did not watch a huge amount of TV. I played virtual board games and Animal Crossing, and then I cooked a lot. I cooked a very flat loaf of bread, which was exciting. Yeah, but it was still tasty. But here we are, a fresh new day. Speaking of cooking, we're going to be recapping Top Chef today, which is very exciting. But before we do that, just a reminder that this Friday evening, we will be recapping The Real Housewives of New York City live on the internet. It'll be one of our streaming things because this coming weekend, we were supposed to be in San Francisco and San Diego. And this past weekend, we were supposed to be in D.C. and Asbury Park. And we had to, of course, postpone all those shows. So we're going to do a live show thingamabobber for all those shows. It's going to be Friday night, 6 o'clock Pacific is when the pre-show starts on IG Live. And then at 6:30, we will bring it on to Patreon. And if you sign up on Crappens on Demand level over at patreon.com/watchforcrappens, you can watch and comment along and all that fun stuff. It's super, super fun. It's really fun doing those things live with people are commenting. So come join us.
Yeah, do it. And if you want to watch all the videos that we've done a ton of them. We do a couple of weeks. Yeah, just go sign up at Crappens on Demand. And now let's do some small business shout out, shall
we, Bean?
Small
business shout out. Yeah. Shout out. I got one from Laura Pate. We met her in New York.
Hi, Laura.
Laura Pate.
Pumpkin.
Laura Pate. She says, "Hey guys, was hoping you boys can give a shout out to one of our local restaurants here in New Hyde Park, Long Island, Uncle Bacala's. It's an awesome little Italian restaurant where we went to eat often. And I had many a party there. Just yesterday, we ordered food for my birthday, and I also ordered my favorite espresso martini to go, okay? Thank you so much for everything you both do. Love you guys. Laura Pate." Well, thanks, Laura. And everyone, yeah, or if you're in that area, go order from Uncle Bacala's, because obviously you can order... the fact that you can order an espresso martini to go is pretty cool. So check out Uncle Bacala's in New Hyde Park, Long Island. Keep it alive.
Yes, and next up is Sarah. Sarah is a one-woman-owned business. She creates invitations for weddings, including hand-painted custom crests. Very Sonia Morgan of her. You can put this custom art on heirloom items for the home, including china, fine linen, and they just came out with custom wallpaper as well, which is pretty badass. They created a limited edition skincare line for a small village in El Salvador, and 25% of sales of 735 Flora Vista is given to bring clean water to this small village, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What is this? This is called Sarah Drake Design. On Instagram, you can find her. I'm opening this Instagram. At Sarah Drake Design. That's Sarah with an H at the end. And then everything else is like it sounds. Sarah Drake Design. So go, you know, go support Sarah. Gosh, she's got some beautiful stuff. I'm on her Instagram right now. Well done, Sarah.
And one last thank you to everyone. When Cameo did their like fundraising drive, I was thanks to the people who booked cameos with me, we were able to raise $348 for the Restaurant Employee Relief Fund. So thank you, everyone who booked those cameos.
Yeah. Yay, Cameo. Go Cameo. Woo! Okay, let's do some... What are we doing? Top Chef?
Top Chef. Yeah, Top Chef. Right. So... last week, there was a double elimination where Karen and Nini were both sent home, but then Padma was like, "Wait, don't go anywhere. I want you to stand there and feel sorry for yourselves, because guess what? Tom, do you want to say what's happening now?"
Well, I just wanted to say it's Last Chance Kitchen.
right now. It's coming up right now.
Whoa. Look, I changed jackets. I'm like Mr. Rogers, except I'm in a chef jacket now, and everyone else disappeared around me. Wow.
And then we all ran to BravoTV.com to watch Last Chance Kitchen, except for us.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe that.
I also, for some reason, thought they were going to show this Last Chance Kitchen thing, which I guess, I don't know why I thought that. It is Last Chance Kitchen, but I kind of thought we were going to see it. But then when we started this episode, we just, like, are in the, we start up in the house with all the chefs standing around being like, I miss Nene. I miss Karen. I was like, do we get to see the fight? No?
Okay. Yeah, it made it look like we were going to see it because it was, they never do that. Like, and now it's Top Chef Kitchen and stuff starts rolling around. Like, he's bringing out the box to saw Padma in half.
Yeah. So instead we're back at the house and Stephanie, surprise, surprise, Stephanie is bummed out because Stephanie, Karen and Nene they had called themselves Padma's Angels. And she's like, well, Karen and Nene are eliminated. So I feel terrible. Like,
I feel terrible.
Yeah. Padma's Angels. It's like, now it's just Padma's Angels. Not fun.
And Melissa, meanwhile, is talking to Voltaggio, and she's like, so was that your first time in the bottom? And he's like, oh, in that type of situation? Yeah, and I am stressed. I mean, that was rough. I was in the bottom. I've been a runner-up twice now, so yeah, it was stressful.
Michael Voltaggio just, like, raps on the window and is like, by the way, I won. I actually won. Anyway, have a great day, guys.
Yeah. I'd also like that he's kind of a Volt, you know, and his brother's a Tesla. So then we go over to we get in the cars and go over to the kitchen, and Padma's in a mustard dress, which I don't know. I don't know that I need that from you. Okay. You look like something Gail's gonna like throw on a potato and call it lunch.
It's always scary when you dress like a condiment on this show. You never know what's going to happen. So,
yeah, it's a very pedestrian condiment for Padma to be dressed as. Like, maybe aioli colored.
I actually thought she looked great. But then she's Padma. She looks great in everything. So
yeah, she looks great. I mean, geez, she's still cut like a Padma, for Christ's sake.
So she's standing in front of a bunch of boxes, and she's like, while you guys were sleeping, your former competitors were battling out. You know, it was sort of like watching two homeless people scrap over a loaf of bread. It was hilarious.
In this box is Gwyneth Paltrow's head. Spoiler alert. You have 30 minutes to make something out of the Goop Queen. Go.
7 sins, as I called them, 7 gales. So then we have like... So we see like a flashback to what happened in Last Chance Kitchen. And really the only thing that's important is that Karen and Lisa and Nene are all cooking. And Luigi is like, 3 minutes, girls. And Karen's like, chef would be better than girls because where I'm from, they call me a chef too. And I actually have a James Beard Award. So handlebars, bye.
And he tells us, I do not want to make that mistake again. So gross. And Padma's like, are you ready to find out who won? Gwyneth, you ready to come out of the box? I was ready for somebody to come out of that box. You can't have a huge box sitting there right after you made it look like a magic show and not have somebody come out of the box.
Last night on Last Chance Kitchen, we asked the chefs to climb into a box and make pasta meals for us all. Let's see how they did. The winning box gets shipped to Gail.
Welcome to a box of better brothers. Tesla.
So anyway, we see
pulls
like
up outside.
Yeah, we just see hands on the steering wheel, and you can just sort of tell by the angle of the forearms and like a shadow of something that whoever's driving it is about a centimeter away from the wheel. And it turns out it's Karen, which makes sense because I can totally imagine Karen driving like that, hands on the top of the wheel, her chin like over the wheel, being like, now let me just see, can I get into this lane? Oh no, there was a car there. Sorry, sir.
So yeah, it's Karen, and she's like, I'm back, baby. So Padma's like, contrate. I don't know what that means, but it's a word I wrote.
Congratulations.
Congrats. Thank you. I'm like, Padma what is contrary?
Contrary. That's something that famous people say to congratulate each other after they win Oscars. Contrary.
I learned that from my good friend, Ali Wong.
I was talking to my dear friend, Lena Waithe, and she said, contrary, Padma, on getting another season pickup. And I said, you too, fellow Emmy winner.
No, it's a pleasure for me to welcome your next judge, who I have not been friends with for years because he's not enough of a celebrity. Please welcome critically acclaimed kind of bit actor who likes to open his jacket and show off fake diamond machetes.
An actor whose TV and film credits are as lengthy as his... I'm just going to leave it there to make it seem like I'm suggesting his penis. How is that, Ali Wong? I could do comedy, too.
You might know me as the lady who sexually eats pizza on her Instagram, so I'll let that sit with you guys for a second.
And now
I'd
like to introduce you to a man who somehow looks like everyone's aunt, Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo, wow. So he's like, hey, what's up, chefs? Danny Trejo, so he took over... I don't know if you guys watched that movie on Netflix called Tangerine about the hooker trade, Dana.
Oh, I haven't seen it, but yes, I know.
East Hollywood.
Yep.
I love that movie.
It's East Hollywood. I'm farther east than that place is. I don't know why I got so offended.
You're right.
It's Santa Monica and Highland, yeah.
Yeah, Santa Monica and Highland. It's Hollywood. And they used to have a place called Donut Time there, which is where all the hookers go and, you know, get their...
Like, remember that story about Eddie Murphy picking up... picking up a hooker who was just trying to find her way home.
Yeah.
That was
And that place ended up closing, and Danny opened a new donut place there, which seems even more hookery. This one's hot pink, and it's got his face on it outside.
Yeah, and I've actually been to it, and I can report... The first time I went, I thought the donut was really tasty, and then since then, the donuts are fine, but they're not great. And in fact, I think I once, their coffee is okay, and I think I got a breakfast sandwich there once, and it was okay. Everything is like, it's good. It's good because donuts are inherently good, but I want it to be better.
Yeah, I mean, it needs to be something that you're going to deep throat. Like, if you're going to go to that place, it needs to be good enough to deep throat, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, he owns that place now. Anyway, that's a useless fact. No one really needs
it. No, but it gave me an opportunity to brag about, like, be like, I've been to his donut shop.
I just like that he was like, you know, I'm going to take that hooker donut shop, and I'm going to make it more hookery. And it's called Danny Trejo's.
Remember
donuts.
When he walked by us at Sir? He was at Sir once when we were there. And someone we were with thought he was Carlos Santana.
I feel like when you live in Los Angeles, it's always like a movie where you're like, oh, Danny Trejo is in this for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? He's just in regular people's lives for 5 minutes.
Yeah. So anyway, so he comes out with, as you mentioned, a jacket and, which has machetes on the inside, like colored, which we find out because Padma goes, you guys are dying to know what's in the box, right? Right? Guess what? It's Gaz Laundry. Look, granny panties everywhere. Ha ha.
It's machetes. And Leanne's like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. What an iconic face. such an odd thing to say.
Yeah, she's like a big Danny Trejo fan, which I thought was like reserved for people who have just like graduated college and are like being cool.
Yeah, stoners.
Nothing against Danny Trejo. I'm just saying that like I feel like most people who are like, I love Danny Trejo are people who like are like really just are stoners out of college.
Yeah. I'm a fan of his because of Quentin Tarantino movies, you know.
Yeah, I mean he's fine, but like I feel like to be like a hardcore Danny Trejo stan, I feel like there are a lot of people who are fans of his because it's cool to be fans of Danny Trejo, right? And I think that like what he actually does is immaterial. They just like the idea of him, which is fine too. But I just didn't expect Leanne to be a Danny Trejo like super fan, which apparently she is.
Yeah, she sure is. So they have to make tacos with machetes, which is kind of an odd, you know, it's kind of an odd challenge.
It's a little Food Network-y, but you know, okay, sure, go for it.
Okay, she's like Trejo's tacos is booming. He even has a donut shop. Right, Danny? All right, we want you to make the perfect taco with a machete. And he's like, you can vegan it? You can vegetarian it? Bite into a cow? You can do it. It's like, yes. All right.
All right. So, chefs, this will be the last quick fire for immunity. After that, you guys will all be pathetic on the same level.
And then they start running around the kitchen with huge machetes, which
I know felt really dangerous.
It really did. So Leanne is still freaking out. She's like, I'm making a taco for fucking Danny Trejo. Okay.
Okay, Leanne, relax. And Malarkey is just being annoying. Cause he's like, he's going to make a Baja Asian mole. And he's like, check that, huh? But we can't use a blender. So I have to take it back thousands of years and use a mortar and pestle. He acts as if like he has just unearthed this ancient tool that has not been touched since like the dawn of like time, since like the Stone Age, you know. I'm like, you know that like mortar and pestle, it's like not that crazy of a thing to make a mole or anything in a mortar and pestle, right? Like, no, you don't get what credit else? For that.
Yeah, what else do you chop your coke up in? I mean, Jesus, come on, people. Welcome to 2020. Do I have to teach you everything?
I don't know. I just thought it was so ridiculous. I had to go back a thousands of years in civilization and use a fork. It's like, okay, God. Relax.
Well, thank God he didn't have to go back there because he would not have survived. He's definitely someone who would have been eaten by a lion.
Oh, it's a shame we don't have time machines sometimes. So, Karen is going with Korean flavors, and she's like, now that I'm back, I have renewed energy, but I'm also so tired, so tired. I almost got into 3 accidents in my BMW on the way over here, in fact. It was really terrifying.
And then Stephanie's having the most positive day ever. She's like, I make tortillas at work, so that's fine, but God, what kind of meat do I use? Everyone's making a fish taco. I don't want to make a fish taco.
I think I'm just going to make a taco.
Kevin's making some pork al pastor with banana, and Padma's like, 5 minutes, everybody.
And Gregory is actually surprisingly in the weeds because he's trying to make a fresh tortilla, which he's never done before, and he's really messing up, and it's causing a chain reaction or domino effect with everything. So he is struggling, and et cetera.
And then it's like, it's like classical music. Of course, I can't think of any right now. But then it cuts to Voltaggio just with his machete doing like the most beautiful avocado knife work.
I know. Just like Gordon. He like made a swan out of an avocado with a machete. So then time runs up and Padma's like, hands up, machete's down. Get it? Ali Wong, that was a joke. Machete's down. Because normally I say, hands up, utensils down. But they're only utensils and machete. I guess you just have to be there, Ali. That's fine. It's fine. Don't laugh.
So they start with Leanne. She's like, I am a huge fan. Danny Trejo, what a face. Okay, I've made tequila beer battered fish tacos. And Padma's wearing her like badass stoner glasses from the 60s. She's like, my good friend Danny Trejo. They're like sunglasses, but you can see my eyes. Am I right, Danny?
It's come to my attention that I'll be tasting with the hipster icon. So I put on some glasses to make it look like I'm from Silver Lake. Anyway, what do you make for a stupid face?
What was it like working with a machete, lady? And she's like, well, I live in Hawaii, so we all have a machete in the back of our car, just in case.
Great story, poor person.
Tell me about it. I was married to Salmon. All right, Greg, what'd you make? And he's like,
I made a tempura rockfish, and you know, I really hope that it makes you proud.
She's like, did you salt your tortilla in the flour, Gregory?
Wow, I thought you were bad before, and then give you a machete and you're just totally useless. Am I right? High five, Aunt Josie. Oh, that's your aunt. Hey, I just realized.
Yeah, that's
you
my
incepted
aunt.
You incepted me with Aunt Josie.
Oh, no, you don't want a high five from Aunt Josie. She high fives very hard just to see if you have the wrist strength to take it.
Well, that seems like Danny Trejo.
Yeah, I'm sure Aunt Josie's a big Danny Trejo fan. Also, I have to just point out that Danny Trejo just keeps opening his jacket going, machetes. And then they keep putting that sound effect. Zong!
It was like last week with a guy who is like, hey, just because I make a pizza doesn't mean it has to be round. Did you make this for me because it's round? You made a rounder thing for me, right? So this week it's like all about like machete blazer.
I don't like this just because it's round, but it's round, so you win.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So Karen made some fried rockfish with kimchi. Kimchi!
What's that?
From our old Food Network recaps, there was one lady who had to cook with kimchi, and it was the most confusing thing she'd ever done in her life. She's like, kimchi!
She's like, I opened it up, it was bubbling!
I will never forget that. All Food Network star. Commercials. Here comes one right now.
With a Now TV Sky Cinema Pass, you can start streaming the best movies around. From brand new blockbusters like Rocketman and The Lion King to all-time favourites, including the Harry Potter collection. Whatever you feel like watching, we've got you covered. All with no contract. To start your 7-day free trial today, search Now TV. 18 plus new customers only. Auto-renews at $11.99 per month unless cancelled. Cancel at any time. Terms apply.
Hey guys, it's Devon Sam here from LucasAid's sports podcast, Running the Show.
Check out this week's episode where we get to meet the one and only Anthony Joshua.
Oh my goodness, do you think he wants to be friends with us now?
Yeah, mate, he told me that he wants to link up and have a bit of sparring.
Yeah, sure he did.
So head to all your podcast providers and click subscribe now. Also get in touch with us at LucasAid Sport using the hashtag Running the Show. You will not regret it.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Nobody socks it to us like Amy Soccarellis.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Don't return to sender, it's Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Let's run some errands with Emily Arendt.
Wokes, it's Nancy Oaks.
Ashley Schiavone, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ava Nagila Weber.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day, you're out.
The Bay Area betches. Betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Oops, she did it again. It's Brittany Montano.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
I take the fifth with Dana Smith.
Let's give them a kissa. It's Austin and Marissa. Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We will, Joanna Rockland View.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchel!
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
It's Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
Incredible edible Matthews sisters. And she ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys. Yeah, so Eric makes a rockfish chorizo taco, and Padma's like, so Eric, why did you go with the flour tortilla? Were you just being totally uncreative? Is that why? I mean, why not just, like, stuff it with fufu like usual and send it to Nilu?
And then Stephanie did cucumber cat... What'd she do? Lamb.
She lamb and cucumbers.
I was like, she made a lamp? Lamb. That's my house, making lamps. She did lamb with cucumber and lime cashews or something. And she's like, so did you make the tortilla or not? Well, I will say this, Kathy. It is nice to have a non-fish taco.
Yeah, I'm surprised you made the tortilla. What did you use, flour, corn, or general sadness?
Wow, a wonderful tortilla from such a disappointed person. Who knew?
Okay, Jill, let's go talk to Brian. Okay, Brian, what did you make us? And Brian made, of course, like a gorgeous looking thing with a miso salmon taco with caviar. Was it hard to do with a machete? because it looked like it was almost as good as your brother's, but not quite.
And Danny's like, oh yeah, I've got a machete. Pussy! Opens his jacket.
Yeah, he's like, I'll have to try that with my machete. In case you didn't see, I have machete stitched into my blazer.
So then Malarkey is next, and he's into his whole, wow, Baja agent. It's a thing, guys. It's a thing! So yeah. Danny's like, well, he tells this big story. Malarkey tells a big story about Baja Street in Tijuana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Malarkey, our cultural ambassador.
Yeah. So, and Danny goes, good street. And I'm like, okay, Malarkey, what are you doing over in Tijuana, you little perv? Because if Danny Trejo knows your street and compliments it, Malarkey, your fish face wife better figure something out. Fish face.
And then so finally we have Kevin, who made a mojo roasted pork taco with banana and scallion, etc. So now we have like, okay, all right, Danny, why don't you tell everyone who is at the bottom of the taco food chain, all right? So the bottom are Gregory, he was too salty, and he's like, I knew it. And then Eric, who had too much tortilla and not enough stuffing.
Which is just what a disgusting thing to say to somebody.
Yeah.
Too much flour tortilla here.
Well, you have so to then, have a proper ratio.
Yeah, no, not for me. So then Trejo is like, wow, Leanne, it was a party of taste in my mouth. And she's like, oh my God, what a fan! And Padden goes, it was poppin'.
It was poppin'. Oh, also, Kevin, you're in the top, which is exciting because you were just eliminated. Remember that? You're a little bit not as good as the rest of the chefs because you were actually eliminated. Anyway, but the winner is the sad girl who's standing by the door trying to leave. Yes, you won. Come back.
It's like me. I'm so happy.
So,
Stephanie wins, and she wins immunity, which she's going to need later. And she's like, God, I've just been waiting to win something, anything.
Chefs, Restaurant Wars will be next week, and I'm inviting my dear friend Lena Waithe to both restaurants. But the battle begins now.
You guys, it's really tough, chefs, when you have someone like Brian Malarkey here. You really need to use his assholery. So let's do a pitch challenge.
Please welcome frumpy winner Stephanie Izzard, and a guy with a strange haircut, Kevin Boehm. Hello, guests.
Oh my God, that guy was so cute. And then I was like, he's crazy, right?
He's an asshole.
He has this like crazy asshole smile, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, he is like, he's like the sort of person in the restaurant industry that I feel like you just want to avoid, because he's just, there's something about him that was like evil.
Yes, even though I kind of agree with everything he said. But then he's so good looking, but then yeah, he does have like a too intense squint in his eye and his smile's a little too tight. There's something scary.
Yeah, I just don't think you can look good and be a restaurateur without there being something shady going on. Like, I think if you're a good restaurateur, you should be fat. Only because like you're eating so much food. I know that just sounds awful what I just said, and I've probably will take some heat for it. I didn't mean it like in that way. I just mean like you should be eating all the food, right?
What are you afraid of, the thin people brigade?
No, I'm afraid of people thinking I'm fat shaming. I'm not fat shaming. I'm saying that like
you're fat praising.
I'm fat praising. I feel like you should
fat
be trying all the food.
Talented. We all know, Ben. We all know.
Okay. You should be trying all the food. And if you're good looking and you have like a hip haircut, I feel like you're just like somehow just in it for the cocaine.
Yeah, when you wear shirts that are that tight to like a eating event, it's disgusting. It's like a slap in the face to everybody there.
This is basically my way of saying I'm just really jealous of him.
Me too, yeah. Let's bring him down. That's what you should do to really hot people. Bring them down to earth.
He's a hot person who like works in the food industry and pretty much gets free meals and can go to like all these like fancy restaurants, like all of Stephanie Izzard's like super famous restaurants in Chicago. So yeah, I'm jealous.
Well, Stephanie's kind of bitchy, too, and I love it. Stephanie's attitude.
I love her. I've always loved her. I loved it when she won. I love how she is now.
I love her bitchiness. It's so funny.
Yeah.
So she's like, Top Chef jump-started my career. Madden was like, and Kevin, you've opened a lot of legs. I mean, restaurants. Am I right, Danny? Did you hear that one? Hooker King.
Wow, you're almost as successful as my very dear good friend, David Chang. Anyway, tell us about your Netflix show. Oh, I guess you don't have one. Anywho.
Well, thankfully, you'll have enough time to judge with us today, person with no career. Okay, Stephanie.
So, yeah, so they have to come up with a restaurant ahead of Restaurant Wars. Everyone has to pitch their restaurant concept and cook some dishes to, like, you know, just as part of the pitch. And the winning ones will be the captains of Restaurant Wars.
Yes, and they're gonna, yeah. So Kevin's like, the main Kevin. He's like, well, if the idea is really good, who knows? Maybe we'll steal it. I'm hot. I'm gonna take your dream.
Yeah. So so Leanne is already, she's like very confused and torn, she tells us. And then we see the chefs are all driving somewhere, maybe to Whole Foods or the house. I think back to the house. And Malarkey is in a car with Brian Voltaggio and Kevin. And Malarkey is like, I would say that the three of us are the most established restaurateurs in the group, right? Right? I'm like, you know what? You may be stating facts, but the fact that you're so proud about this, when you're also so proud that you just, like, introduced the mortar and pestle to all of America, it just sickens me.
Yeah. He's like, I want the world to know Baja Asian is gonna be insane. Now, I just have to sell everybody else on this. Let's sell! He's so gross. And then Kevin's like, I'm thinking of a concept called Fluster Cucks. Fluster Cucks.
Yeah. Fluster Clucks. And Brian Voltaggio. Fluster
Clucks.
Brian Voltaggio's like, oh, like cluster fucks? Oh, wait a minute. Whatever, how he does that laugh.
So we go home and everybody's doing their mood boards. And it's like arts and crafts night. And Eric is not in a good place in this whole episode.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, God. You know, this mood board, it's really important to me because it's going to really allow me to evoke feelings of Middle Passage, which is the name of the transatlantic slave trade. I was like, geez, that's the saddest mood board, and you haven't even started it. I'm sad.
I actually thought he was going to be winning the challenge because that seemed like, ooh, that's a great, like, extension of what he already does, and it's a good name, an interesting name, you know? I was like, oh, so he's probably going to be the winner this challenge.
Oh, no, I knew. Nope. He was screwed. He totally got the Top Chef I'm screwed at it, because he goes, I made this dish in the finale and then I was eliminated, so this is really where I make it up and I show them good it can be. And I was like, oh no, why do you do that?
Yeah,
that never works,
like literally never works. That happened. Jamie got eliminated, I think, doing the same thing. I could be wrong, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so Karen, she wants to do something Asian inspired. She wants to do a modern dim sum concept, which I love. I love the idea of that, because I love dim sum and I love Karen. So I'm very pro that. And then Stephanie, of course, is struggling. So she's like, I mean, I'm a private chef. I don't know what to do. I mean, the only concept I've come up with so far is...
Yeah. And Leanne's like, well, I put together a mood board with the feel of Hawaii. You know, that feeling you get when you're going down the highway, looking at the ocean, thinking, God, a burglar might be right behind me, ready to kill me. Thank God I've got a machete in my backseat.
And Malarkey's like, guys, I'm having some roadblocks in my idea. I mean, I'm just really struggling how to merge Chinese food and Mexican food, because we've never seen that before, ever, 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 ever. So let's go bowling instead, right? Because the producers told me to say that.
Yeah, let's go bowling where Ronnie and Ben just bowled a couple of months before.
And
remember, we had so much fun on those two bowling lanes at the Roosevelt Hotel.
I know, you really, we weren't competing, but you definitely kicked my ass because I kept on rolling into the gutter and you were like, bowling was, you're like, whoosh. I guess that's what happens, like, when you're raised in a bowling alley.
Yeah, I was like, invisible high five, Aunt Josie. Ow!
So can you please explain to me this game? So you just take a ball and you roll it at some pins and knock them over. And is that it? Is that all you do? Do you win any sort of Nobel Prize afterwards for literature? No? Okay.
So it's basically Gail when she sees a Snickers display.
Except Gail is both the ball and the pins.
So they bowl and Stephanie's all depressed while Malarkey is like, so how many restaurants have you guys opened? And they all talk about how many restaurants they've opened, and she's like, I'm gonna kill myself. Basically.
So then the next day Eric is out in the yard clipping things from trees to put on his mood board, and he's like You know, I think he's like feeling like very innovative, and then someone's like, oh, well, that's funny because Voltaggio actually glued an entire plate to his board. It's like a plate. And then you just see Michael Voltaggio walking with his vision board. He's like, I actually put a entire table. You can actually eat your entire meal off my vision board. Anyway, have a great day, guys. Bye.
So then we go to Whole Foods to do some shopping. And Stephanie, she's like, okay, here's my concept. I'm going to do modern contemporary American.
Whoa.
Wait, what? That's a great idea. Are you saying an updated take on some American classics? No, like almost like a gastropub, but like with different words. That's crazy.
Wow. She's like, so I'm going to do smoked fish dip with chips and a schnitzel. It's like, how is a schnitzel contemporary American?
Yeah. And she goes, I mean, there's schnitzel with something. And then Kevin, he's going to do America's first chicken curry. By the way, I had never even heard of Country Captain. Am I crazy? I mean, I believe it's a thing, of course. I had never heard of it. And he was talking as if it was like an American staple. Have you heard of Country Captain?
Isn't Country Captain the name of his restaurant?
Yeah, but he said it was also the name of his dish, the chicken curry thing.
Oh, no, I heard Country Captain. And I thought he was like, that's the name of my restaurant. And it's the first, it's basically the South was part of the spice trade. So we actually came up with the first American version of chicken curry.
Right. Which is actually, if you think about it, kind of a problematic thing. If you really, really want to think about it, it's like, oh, once white people found it, it became America's first.
Yeah. You know, it was amazing. Some boats pulled up. We stole everything off the boats, and then we invented curry.
And it became America's first curry. I'm like, okay. But since I don't know enough about the topic, I won't get too preachy about it. But I did think it was kind of funny that he said that. So, cooking. Let's get cooking.
Yeah, so they're cooking now, and Greg's like, you know, back home I'm working on a Haitian restaurant, and he's making a whole fish and stuff. And then Karen's like, my restaurant is called Three Black Crows because my grandparents' last name was Crow.
I was like, I don't know if I want to go to a restaurant named Three Black Crows. Aren't they like famous for eating, you know,
yeah, roadkill? You'll die here. You are going to die.
Omens and roadkill. Also,
I guess that's the raven, but crows can't be good luck either, can they?
They could be good luck to other crows.
Other things that like to eat people. They're like, wow, this is the guy who holds the sickle when you die. What is that guy who's waiting for you to die?
Grim Reaper?
Yeah, the Grim Reaper is like, there's some crows. It's a good omen. Blah, 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 blah.
Now, you know what's funny is that there is a very famous restaurant in San Francisco called State Bird Provisions, and I believe they do like a sort of like dim sum, like a American food dim sum. So it's funny that Karen is doing modern American dim sum with something called Three Black Crows or whatever it's called. Just saying, bird names and dim sum and American dim sum. So
yeah, there you go.
I could also be talking out of my ass, but I'm just saying. Why not create some controversy, huh?
Yeah. Get all those dumpling people riled up, man.
Let's put the dumplings against each other.
So Leanna's peeling eggs, and her restaurant's going to be called Hanai Mama, because that means like the family you choose, like adopted family. And she's like Hawaiians adopted me because people want fresh seafood. I'm like, how did Hawaiians adopt you? You're terrified of being robbed. Okay.
So
I guess I'm just so surprised to hear that, because I always think of Hawaii as being like the safest paradise ever, because I've never been there. So to me, it's just like everything when you're growing up, people are like, oh, my God. The neighbors went to Hawaii. And I would always look at them like, oh, my God, you must be so wealthy.
Yeah, and robbed. They were robbed, and now they need machetes. So they were wealthy. So the judges walk in all serious, and now it's time for people to start making their pitches. So Kevin goes first, and he puts up his vision board, and he's like, I'm literally taking the color palette of my grandmother's home and putting it on this board, which I don't know if that's ever really a selling point for... Like, do grandma's homes always have great color palettes? I don't know.
Yeah. Delicious. Meemaw's house. Breathe it in. So yeah, he has like kind of a crock pot type of thing that he's serving out of. And Tom goes, look at those num-nums.
Yeah. Yeah. Quiet, Tom. Stop staring at Gail. So then...
By the way, Gail is officially off of the bad pattern train and onto shoulder pad train. And I don't like it. I don't like it, Gail. I don't approve, but it's now official. So thanks a lot.
She's changing things up for, you know, All-Stars. So yeah. I guess Kevin's whole thing is he serves this thing called Country Captain, which he says is one of the South's most famous dishes. And it's like, I guess when you go to his restaurant, it's you only get it's part of a multi-course meal, and it's always Country Captain, but then there's other sides that change up depending on what it is, and it's $49 per person. I have to say, I actually did not, I thought that was like an odd pitch. I was surprised the judges liked it so much, because I'm like, it almost sounded like a fast casual thing, but $49 a person, it was a little odd to me, or maybe I just didn't get it.
Well, I don't think he was saying every dish has to be Country Captain. I think he was saying that's the name of his restaurant, and then you choose a protein, and then you choose the sides.
Well, either way, it's still like a little, it sounded very fast casual to me, but maybe it was just sort of like a prefix menu, that's what he was saying.
Yeah, I think so. I think he was saying you pick a protein and then you pick your sides and it's just all one. I mean, it is a fancy Chipotle, but...
Yeah, I think I was just like upset at him. I think at this point your hatred of Kevin has now ripped off on me. And so I was like, I disapprove of all of this. And Tom was like, yeah, I can really picture myself sitting on veranda in Georgia and eating this and thinking about how someday I'll be able to retire and my son will be able to take care of me. And then I remember he's just a mixologist and he'll never be able to take care of me, ever.
So Eric's freaking out, well, in the Eric way. He's like totally calm, but he looks really mad.
Yeah.
And his dish is, he's like, wow, this dish is very intricate. I have to be super careful. Boom. He drops sausages on the floor.
Yeah, something. Yeah. He's like out of his rhythm and everything. And everyone, like Leanne has to help him. And Padma's like, I think that Eric is next because he seems to be in the weeds a little bit. Look at him. Look. Isn't it funny how poor people get so antsy when things go wrong?
So he comes over and brings it over and he tells him what it is. It's African food. He did a glazed duck with coriander and shrimp. And Tom just looks at the shrimp like, some floppy shrimp. Thanks.
All their faces are like, Eric, what kind of service style are you envisioning in your terrible restaurant? And he goes, casual but still formal. And Padma's face is like, I'm not sure that really makes any sort of sense. Gail, can you make sense of it? Oh, wait, sorry. She's got a face full of food as usual.
Sorry, let's let Gail swallow her 3 pounds of foo-foo first. Gail.
Gail, yeah, do you want to grill him?
She did not like that answer. She's like, casual but formal. Disgusting.
Those are two contradictory concepts. I know this because I used to be married to Salman Rushdie, an acclaimed author.
So Kevin, hot Kevin's like, guys, the duck is a mess. I mean, come on. It's a mess. Tom's like, it's overcooked. Too much broth. Bad technique. This is just bad technique. Let's just celebrate bad technique.
And Kevin, like, hot Kevin's like, I mean, are you cooking for Michelin or are you cooking for people and want to develop an audience? Am I right? High five. High five, everyone.
Why? Does Michelin like food with too much broth that's overcooked? What are you saying, Kevin? Shut up over there, hot Kevin.
Eric, really, what he should have said was, it's casual, but the food is elevated, you know? But, like, saying casual but formal is just, like, one of those, like, disorganized answers that just makes people have no faith in you or your concept.
Yeah, and then Gregory comes up with his big-ass fish, and he's like, you have to be a great cook, but also a great salesman. So here I go. I was like, come on, you can do it! I'm like lighting a fire to put under his butt. You can do this!
His red snapper looked amazing. I was like, oh my God, give me that. I'm not even like a huge red snapper person, but I'm like, give me that red snapper. Ooh, right
I
now.
Love, yeah.
Not that I dislike it. I haven't had enough red snapper in my life to have a distinct feeling of like, oh, I know exactly how that's going to taste, you know? I just looked at it.
Yeah, it looks good. And he's like deboning it right at the table. Mm. And he tells him it's Haitian inspired, wood fired. And he's like, one of my fondest memories of Haiti was the cane man. And Padma's like, The Cane Man.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. I know about that too. Yeah, oh, yeah, Cane Man.
I know
man.
All about the Cane Man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, Cane Man. Cane Man. The Cane Man who famously had a sugar cane. Yeah, I mean, everyone knew that. Yeah, right? Right? Gail doesn't know. That poor thing. She never had a Cane Man in her neighborhood. I think the best she had was maybe the Twinkie Man.
You know, that poor guy who got hit by a car and then started cooking because he had to walk everywhere with cane. No, sugar cane. Oh, that's right. That's yeah. right. A very well tried. I must be thinking of a different
cane
man.
We had two Cane Men, actually, so we're just one more Cane Man than you. So that's all. Poor Gail, she apparently only had a shoulder pad man, if you know what I'm saying.
So Gail's like, how do you want the Haitian community to embrace this? Is this authentic Haitian or is it just regular Haitian? Please stop talking about the Cane Man. Padma. That would be great. Got it. Got it, Padma.
Oh, just give her some more red snapper and she'll shut up.
Pin the oxtail on the Gail, am I right, Gregory? So then he's like, well, you know, I'm doing the fundamentals, but I think that there's room for seasonality here. And Hot Kevin's like, well, this certainly has a point of view. Well done, young man.
Sort of reminds me of being a child and the Cane Man would come to town. I'd be like, what's your point of view, Cane Man? Who I definitely had in my childhood.
Padma says, oh, it would be so exciting to have a Haitian restaurant.
I mean, I never thought about it once in my life, but I think it'd be fun, right? Because I had a Cane Man.
Bueller is making a fort on the couch. He's pulling pillows over and rearranging them into a fort. You're ridiculous. Okay, so then is Volt. And yes. He's like, I'm calling this Thatcher and Rye after my son because my son's name is Thatcher. And Rye Bread just because my brother's never really been able to perfect that. So yeah. I thought that was fun.
So my concept is Mid-Atlantic cuisine, which is pretty revolutionary, except for the fact that Mid-Atlantic cuisine is pretty popular in the Mid-Atlantic. So anyway, for this Mid-Atlantic cuisine, I have made you some egg rolls and dumplings. Oh, damn it. Did my sister describe this meal again to me? Shoot.
I just brought out a plate of gorgeous croissant fish. I hope you guys enjoy that.
I wasn't exactly sure what to put on the menu, so I asked my sister, and now we have Brazilian chascuro.
Yeah. So he really made... Whoa, what you really made, Joker? He really made crab rolled in jicama, which you know that I'm not a big fan of things rolled in jicama. I just cannot get on board.
Really?
And after we last argued about it, I got some jicama slices because they were at the grocery store already sliced for little tacos. And they're like, make your taco with these jicama slices instead. And I was like, guess what? You're not a flour tortilla, so go fuck yourself, jicama. How about that?
Why don't you just pretend it's not a taco and pretend it's just a different thing that is jicama specific?
Because it's so wet in my mouth. I can't.
But it has a nice sweetness. Why don't you... How about this? Why don't you put it in a tortilla? Like, have a layer of tortilla with a layer of jicama and so that way you
can... Here's what I did. I opened up some blue cheese dressing and I dipped that shit in there and it turned out to be delicious. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. No, I believe that. I just don't see why you're inflexible on the jicama thing.
I don't like when things pretend to be other things. You know what I mean? Like a taco.
Like
is a taco.
Gail pretending to be a supermodel. I mean, really.
Yeah. So anyway, he made crab rolled in jicama, and then he did a game hen with sunflower seed risotto. And he's like, I really want this idea to be more accessible to, you know, the regular people out there, which is where the sunflower seed risotto. I'm like, what are you talking about?
He's like, so we have topped with caviar and some sweetbreads, and we're just going to do a crudo on the side, you know, for the layman.
Yeah, and Padma's like, what's the price point, Bolt? And he's like, between, I don't know, how much is a jicama slice is about $75. I don't know, what do normal people normally spend at McDonald's? Probably about $80 on a meal. All right, that.
Just a reminder that your brother Michael had a restaurant called Ink Sack that made sandwiches. So I guess he figured out accessible, huh?
Until it closed.
till it closed because he wanted to do something exciting like open a restaurant in India. You ever thought about doing that?
So he walks off and Tom's like,
the food and the concept don't really match up there. And Gail's like, you know what? He's a Voltaggio. His food is not acceptable. Just own it. I mean, it's not accessible. Just own it, okay? You're not here to be accessible.
Yeah, own it. Just the way, Gail, maybe you should own that your shoulders are shaped like hot dogs and not like giant squares.
Oh, there she goes. I knew all I needed to say was hot dog. Somebody, Gail's eating her own shoulders.
Do you know that Gail once dated people on OkCupid based solely on if they were named Nathans because of the hot dogs?
So then, forget about the Oscar.
And for a while, she would only date people who only spoke Hebrew and were nationals. So,
Karen is next, and Padma goes, "Hi, Karen, how are you?" I was like, "Ooh, you're so why?" Everything Padma says today, I'm like, "Damn, Padma!"
Oh, I got scared for a moment because I thought I was seeing a ghost. Weren't you eliminated already? What are you doing back here, security?
Hi, everybody. I'd like to introduce you to Second Chance Karen.
I'd like to introduce everyone to someone who was bad enough to get eliminated, but for some reason is back. So what's your terrible concept?
Let me guess. Your concept is the Salvation Army.
Hey, Karen, consignment guess what? It's anyway, I was just talking on the phone with Kelly Clarkson. Bet you're a little jealous, aren't you, Karen, huh?
So Karen goes through her Three Black Crows thing. Modern dim sum. She's like, I made a focaccia dough and some sweet potato dumplings. And Stephanie's like, how would the curry be served? Yeah. And Stephanie kind of is giving everybody a dirty look. Yeah. And this is when Stephanie starts to get evil, and I love it. Gail's like, I like the dishes, but it wasn't Chinese or Asian. And then Stephanie squints and nods really hard. And this is where the squint and nod begins.
Yeah. And Tom's like, you know, she made a pancake with focaccia dough. I mean, there's a concept there. I mean, Italian and Asian food. Explore that. It's like what I tell my son. You can get any other sort of job aside from being a mixologist. Explore that. Anything. Movie theater. I don't care. Do it.
I just want her to win because I want to see Carts in Restaurant Wars. That would be hilarious. Carts.
Carts. Yeah.
That would be great. That would be great.
Yeah.
So Leanne's next, and she is presenting Hanai Mama, and she's got a salted egg curry mahi-mahi and then a coconut braised pork belly.
Yeah, and Leanne's like, well, you know, it's hard because everyone here has restaurants. Well, I mean, with the exception of Stephanie over there. Look, the girl over there who's just sort of sad and staring at, I think it's supposed to be schnitzel, but might just be a placemat. Anyway, so I'm making modern Hawaiian food, something you've probably never heard of from any restaurant ever in Hawaii.
Yeah, and Tom's like, not feeling it. It's all cold pork, and it's not even seasoned well. So, fail.
Yeah. Gail's like, yeah, Leanne's concept doesn't feel very different from so many other Hawaiian restaurants. Sort of like your dress in the dress barn, am I right, Gail? I mean, let's be honest, I've seen that on 5 different women on the street when I actually was walking on the street, because normally I just get driven around. But anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about your shoulder pads.
So Stephanie's next, and she's freaking out. She's like, oh, I've never had a restaurant. So she comes over, and Padma's like, the biggest surprise here is your vision board wasn't done on a bunch of sticky notes, office lady.
What also surprised me is, like, I don't know, was Tom drunk at this point or whatever? Because Stephanie put her vision board up and her restaurant's called Lucy C's. So she puts it up and Tom goes, Lucy C's. He's like really delighted by the name.
And then Stephanie goes, yeah, Lucy C's was my dog for 15 years. That died. It's like, delicious, Stephanie. Wow, evoking a dead dog as we're about to eat. Thanks.
So this first dish, schnitzel, it's in honor of a hamster I had that also died, but prematurely, when a hawk broke into our house and got into his cage. So anyway, enjoy.
Crows killed my fish. Thanks a lot, Karen. So Tom's like,
why did you choose... these dishes. So this is a fish dip with chips and soggy chicken. So what's up with that, crazy lady? And she's like, well, you know, I just want people to feel like it's something that they couldn't do at home. I was like, yeah. So you made chips and dip and schnitzel? Come on.
What part about rustic food says can't make it at home? You know? So Stephanie walks away and Padma just goes, it wasn't good. You know, like Gail's wardrobe.
And evil Kevin's like, so it's basically a non-concept concept. Great one. And Padma goes, the schnitzel sucks.
I think we can all agree that this schnitzel tastes like a big piece of rubber. So if you all pass it down to Gail, she'll finish it off for us.
And Gail goes, well, she does have immunity. And evil Kevin says, well, she should name her restaurant Immunity. And they're like, ha ha, chortle, 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 chortle. And Leanne tells Stephanie, they're laughing really hard, so I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Maybe I shouldn't have led that my restaurant concept is.
I should have left the dead dog thing out of it, maybe. So then there's a commercial. I don't know if you noticed this. The next commercial break, the end of it is like, Gregory and Kevin, they show Padma going, Gregory and Kevin, your restaurant concepts are about to come to life. Like for the next week, I'm like, guys, spoiler alert.
Oh, you know what? I wonder if maybe the recording that you watched was like the second airing of it, you know, because I didn't see that.
Why did you watch it on the YouTube TV?
No, I watched it on DirecTV.
Oh, well, so YouTube then it TV should have been the first one.
YouTube TV might have taken, because I've noticed that sometimes YouTube TV takes like the recording that airs later in the evening. But either way, it's shady that they would air that commercial in the middle of the like, second guys. Airing the same night, you know?
Yeah, I was like, come on, guys. So then Malarkey's like, all right, it's my turn. Do I look all right, guys? Look at my teeth.
Oh,
look
God.
At my teeth.
And then God, I wanted
just start
to punch
dropping
him.
Dead.
Yeah, he's like hamming it up in front of the waitresses, like, but also like, and the judges could hear it, so it's like all part of the spiel of like, oh, he's just like a funny showman who was on TV once, you know?
Yeah.
So Malarkey's whole thing is he says, you know what I want to do? I want to entice the millennial. So already it's like, okay, pass, hard pass.
Yeah, just what a gross, so what a boomer thing to say.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like when you say when you want to entice the millennial, that's the first thing. So. That's exactly how you do not entice a millennial, is say you want to entice the millennial.
Yeah. So he's like, yeah, you know what millennials like? Braised oxtail with mole. Like, what? And then he's like, I thought of a love story, guys. A love story. All right, picture this. Two people from different worlds. They fall in love, and they cannot deny their love. And Padma, it cuts to Padma shaking her head, like her hair back. Like she's in a... like dudes in a music video. And he's like, the two D's stand for Donkey and the Dragon because it's Agent Baja, 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 Agent Baja. Love story.
So now I'm like, part of it is also again like, okay, so I guess is the Asian part supposed to be the dragon? And then does that mean the Latino part is the donkey? Do we feel good about that? I don't know. But he's like, yeah, I came from Shrek. It's hilarious, right? Anyway, we're putting Latino food and Asian food together. Please tell me you've never been to the country of Peru. Thank you very much. Okay.
And Gil's like, brilliant. What a concept. That is brilliant. Okay. And date mole, what a perfect expression of his concept.
I mean, you say Shrek and Gail is already sold, if you know what I mean. Am I right, everyone? Am I right? Kevin, high five. High five.
And Tom's like, oh, that right there is why that guy opened 15 restaurants and sold them. That's it. That's it. Right there. And Brian's, stop trying to make malarkey happen, you guys. Stop.
It's never going to happen. And Brian's like, well, we'll all have you guys at the opening next year, right? Right, right. Let me just call my wife. Okay, I need 15 napkins. I need 3 tables. And your restaurant's get it now. Get it now. Put it down. I don't care if you're feeding our children. Get it now.
Fuck this up, and I'm withholding the restylane. So Melissa's like, welcome to Sabrina, modern Asian California. I'm like, okay. But I like her.
Of course. Because she's like, talks... no, yeah,
go
you
ahead.
Go. You go.
No, no, go ahead. Go
you
ahead.
Go. You go.
No, go ahead.
Go.
I'm going to drink water
you
now.
You go. You go. No, I was just going to say that. Of course, because it's Melissa, she just effortlessly makes something absolutely amazing and just puts it down in front of them because she can't do anything wrong.
She's like, my grandma, what a romantic. She took ballroom dancing when she was 87, became a master painter at 93, learned Spanish at 98 just so she could understand the people raving about her new art career.
She learned some spells and actually became a senior citizen witch.
So Stephanie's like, well, this was the most well-crafted dish we've had tonight.
Yeah, it's much better than that shitty-ass schnitzel that the frumpy girl over there said. I've been calling a lot of people frumpy tonight. But you know what, though? It works. On Top Chef, it works. There's a lot of frump to go around.
Yeah. So the chefs start talking it over, and they seem to like Greg and Malarkey the best, right?
Yeah.
And Padma's like, did you notice this? Of course he did. But she goes, well, I think we had a lot of great food. And then she looks right at Gail and goes, let's unbutton our pants. All right, Gail.
For those of us who are not wearing stretch fabric, let's unbutton our pants and go to the judges' table.
Gail's just like, why are you only looking at me and laughing on a loop?
Yeah.
So then the judges' table, the tops are Gregory, Kevin, Malarkey, and Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
And Padma's like, Gregory, we could see what this restaurant looks like, tastes like, feels like because of you.
It's almost like when Gail tells us she found a can of anchovies. We're like, well, we know what that certainly smelled like and looked like.
And Kevin's like, well, mine explains Southern culture that is often overlooked. Have I said Blondewood today? Because I would love to say Blondewood just because it sounds great.
Has Kevin seen the Food Network? Does he know that Southern culture is pretty well represented on that over there? No?
It's maybe represented not. Everywhere. There's like, so many Southern food restaurants. They're like, everywhere. Oh, it's updated Southern. Here's a $20 mac and cheese. But guess what? It's got grill.
Guys, I got a great idea for a concept. Elevated chicken and waffles. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll let that sink in for a second.
So Stephanie goes, I was blown away by your presence. Like, okay, Stephanie, calm it.
So then Kevin the evil Kevin's like, Malarkey, you said you want to cook for millennials. And as someone who is wearing a millennial haircut, I have to say, I think they would dig it.
Such a millennial thing to say.
Yeah.
Hot Kevin. He's like, yeah, they'd really dig it.
Yeah.
And Tom's like, Melissa, too often you see pretty plates. The technique doesn't match up. But that's not the case here. Pretty technique, pretty plates. Everything's pretty. Yeah.
So the
something
first...
sees. Trying to think of the name of the dead dog restaurant.
Oh, the dead dog restaurant
Lady
was... C. Yeah, it was like Molly C's or... I forgot what it was called. Oh, God, I love that name. Love that name. Terrible food. Terrible food. I don't know why we let the cleaning lady enter the competition. Oh, wait, you're an actual chef. Oh, okay.
You could put the rest of the staples on the desk and leave. Oh, sorry, Stephanie.
For a moment, I thought that was our office manager. Turns out she's an actual chef, Tessin, who's been on this show before. How about that? How about that? Anyway, so the first winning concept is Country Captain, because we love alliteration, and that's what we look for.
And Gregory. And so Pat was like...
I can't even believe you didn't notice this, that when Kevin won, he removed his hat to say thank you. I thought that would bother you.
Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't see it. I must have been looking down at the keys.
Yeah, he was like, thank you so much. He took off his hat as if he was like the national anthem was playing. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. This is to substitute the hands on my heart thing. Hashtag bless, said it with my hat.
Yeah, so then the bottom.
Sorry, it was killing a spider.
That's okay. Is it dead?
That's bad luck, right, to kill a spider, but...
It depends who you ask.
Couldn't save it, darling. I couldn't save you. All right, climb in someone else's office. Yeah. So
go to Sonia Morgan.
Yeah, so they went, and then Padma's like, we'd like to see Eric, Leanne, Stephanie, and the receipts for whatever Gail's wearing, so we can get rid of it immediately.
Stephanie.
So it should be Stephanie, right? Like, yeah. We all know at this point, the hate is Stephanie's the most.
Yeah. I'm surprised that Padma didn't do that thing where she called the people to the bottom and then said, Stephanie, You have immunity, but if you didn't have immunity, you'd be going home, mostly on account of your hair. It's terrible today. Goodbye.
Yeah, they were evil to Stephanie because they still made her go on the bottom so that people would blame her for them going home, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, she doesn't have low enough self-confidence. Let's really make everyone hate her even more.
Hey, remember when you tried to make Indian food for me, an Indian woman who had a cane man growing up? Wow, what a mistake.
And Leanne's like, well, now I have a 1 in 2 chance of going home right now because stupid Stephanie has immunity.
Yeah. Which is funny because Stephanie went home because of the same situation. When she went home on her season, it was because that asshole who won Top Chef, was it Philadelphia or New Orleans? His name was Nick. He had immunity, but he was the one who should have gone home. Their team lost because of him, but Stephanie had to go home.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
So they start ripping into Eric, and Eric's just like, my bad. I know it was bad.
Yeah.
And I felt bad. And Kevin's like, well, the food fell short. And he goes, yeah, I basically fell on my face. And this Stephanie squints and nods at him like, yep, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. And then with Stephanie, evil Kevin, like, reiterates, he goes, you know, the first thing we said is that it seemed like a no concept. Hey, guys, remember when I said that? Remember, Gail, do you remember? Of course she doesn't remember. She was stuffing her face full of ho-hos and chocolate fondue.
Oh, wait, who are you on now? Stephanie?
Stephanie, yeah.
Oh, I didn't even write anything down for Stephanie. I'm so rude.
That's okay.
So then Leanne's like, I just wanted it to taste like on vacation. You know, vacation on the run. And Kevin's like, well, 90% of restaurants fail, and the 10 that succeed have a point of view. And this just, I mean, come on. Were you fucking kidding me with this? And then Leanne's like, sorry, I failed. And then Stephanie's like, mm-hmm, yep, yep, you did. I was like, damn, Stephanie's really evil with her nods today.
She really was. It was great. Yeah, and Pema's like, you know, it's funny that you should say that. That 10% of the restaurants that succeed have a point of view, because you know what Gail's would be? Deep-fried shoulder pads, am I right? Am I right, Tom? You had to like that one, right? Ali Wong, that was a joke. Made a joke, Ali.
The issue today is execution and concept. And Tom's like, yeah, you know, I like Leanne's name, but, you know, bleh. And then Gail's like, God, too bad about Eric. He's been working on this idea for years. And Stephanie goes, I still don't get it. I mean, is it fine dining? Is it a family restaurant? What the hell? And Kevin goes, I mean, it's just hard to eat.
Yeah. And meanwhile, back in the stew room, as expected, Leanne was immediately on the couch with a pillow in her lap. She's like, my food may be on vacation, but I'll tell you what's home, this pillow.
I think we have our answer. So then Tom's monologue, he's like, and he doesn't really do a fun one because he's plugging Last Chance Kitchen. This time mm-hmm. he just goes, you guys, you're both good chefs, and it was just a bad day, but we still have Last Chance Kitchen. Is any set piece going to roll in? That would be great. Could we have some rolling boxes in here so people will think this is coming on right now on actual television instead of the internet, like some cheap PayPal hooker? That would be great.
Quiet, Tom. I'm working on making myself look like I'm about to cry. I learned this trick from my good friend Lena Waithe, an actress. Okay. Eric, please pack your knives and go.
Yeah, that was sad.
I was surprised, actually. I thought Leanne was definitely going to go.
Yeah, and Eric's like, well, this was humbling. Tom goes,
oh, one bad day, brother. One bad day, brother. I'm like, okay, Tom.
Yeah, it's been a problematic episode all the way around, basically.
No, but I thought it seemed like both of them fucked up their food. So at least I felt like at least Eric's concept was fresh and interesting. But I guess that food must have been really bad and his presentation even worse.
Yeah. It's weird to see because it's always a question, right? Are they judging on just this challenge or the whole season so far? Because if they were judging on the whole season, obviously it would be Leanne because she's been in the bottom so many times now.
Yeah. I guess I think they do it challenge by challenge, which is why we have so many people who've won the show that's kind of surprised. And we're like, wow, I'm surprised that guy won? Really?
Yeah. Oh, God, Hosea. I will never forget that.
Hosea.
All right, well.
Yeah, Nina, when Nina lost to Nicholas. I mean, so many.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of Top 7.
We'll be back tomorrow to recap the season finale of Shaws of Sunset. And in the meantime, go check out those small businesses that we mentioned at the top of the show. And don't forget to sign up on patreon.com/watchforcrappins to get bonus episodes and Crappins on Demand and all that fun stuff.
We'll see you guys later.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Hello, this is Jay Rayner from Out to Lunch with Jay Rayner, a new series of which has just dropped. This is a Staycast from Acast. In the current crisis, please do follow the government's advice, which right now is to stay at home and save lives. And while you're staying at home, why not have a recommendation for another great podcast to listen to? Would you like eavesdropping on a bit of therapy? Well, try How Did We Get Here with the marvellous Claudia Winkleman and Professor Tanya Byron. It's available on the Acast app, or wherever you get your podcasts.